The seeing eye dog is a guide for someone that is blind, that doesn't have sight or sufficient sight to be able to get around. And just as that seeing eye dog is a guide, will each one of you have a guide just like that, the Holy Spirit, to guide you. And in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I'd like to read that to you from a couple of other translations. The 20th century translation says, "For we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see." For we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. We guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. You must realize that he's not talking here about, well, if you see a car coming toward you, we'll ignore it and just walk by faith and just believe that it's going to work out. That isn't what he's talking about. But what you must realize is that we are citizens, as Christians, we're citizens of another realm, another country, another kingdom. That is the kingdom of heaven. And we operate in a realm that's unseen. It's invisible to our natural eyes. That is the realm of the Spirit. God is a spirit being. Angels are spirit beings. They're spiritual reality, but we don't see it with these physical eyes, do we? We don't touch it or perceive it with our physical senses in any way. And since you don't know what's out there, it's hard for you to operate in that by your physical senses, isn't it? It's not hard, it's impossible. How would you know where the devil is if you're going to resist him? Can you take your shoe and throw it at him? You have no way of knowing what's going on out there in that spiritual realm by your physical senses, and yet that's where you're operating in. Every one of us are. Every one of us, our lives are affected by what's going on out there, by the angels, by the demons, by the Holy Spirit. They have an effect on our lives. And so we guide our lives by faith and not by what we see. We are spirit beings. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so we operate in that realm of the Spirit. Another translation, Williams says, "For here I live by what I believe and not by what I see." I live by what I believe. And that's what faith is all about. It's what you really believe. Actually, in the Greek New Testament, the word that we have translated faith is the noun, and believe is the verb of the same word. Faith is the noun, and believe is the word, or verb. Faith is the noun, believe is the verb. So, we need to go by what we believe. We live by what we believe, not by what our physical senses tell us. Just as the person that's blind, that has the seeing eye dog, trusts that dog to guide them and relies on their ability, so we also need to realize that as far as operating in the spirit realm, we're blind. I'm talking about from the natural standpoint. Depending on our physical senses, what we can touch, taste, see, smell, hear, we're blind to the spirit realm. And so we need, just as much as a blind person needs that seeing eye dog to guide them around, so we need a guide to guide us around through this life. That is, if we expect to rise up above just the mundane, ordinary level of life where most people live defeated lives. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it in all its fullness. But Jesus said that man is not going to live or have this life, this quality of life, just by meat and potatoes alone. That's my paraphrase. He said, man is not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, God has given us His Word to be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. God has given us His Word so we can be led and guided through life, and so that we can enjoy that level of life that God has for us. And it's not just limited to one small area. When He's talking about life, He's talking about the God kind of life. He's talking about life as God intended for man to live it. He's talking about life as God lives it. Praise God. Free from worry and care. Free from doubt and free from fear and free from poverty and free from sickness and free from bondage. Hallelujah. God doesn't have any of that stuff on Him. And it's His will that we be free also. Hallelujah. He told us to pray, Jesus did, to pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, none of that junk is in heaven. God is interested in our lives being heavenly. Hallelujah. If He told us to pray that it be on earth as it is in heaven, well, it's heavenly in heaven, isn't it? Has to be, because that's where it is. Heavenly. Well, God is interested in our lives being heavenly here. Now, don't start thinking on me, well, mine isn't and it never will be. That's why I'm preaching to you. That's why you need to listen to this. That's why you need to learn and understand and come to be convinced of this truth, that it is possible, that it is available, that it is God's will. Because then it can begin to work in your life. But you see, just as you would be lost in heaven right now without a guide, well, you're lost in the spirit realm. You're lost in knowing how to tap into and experience and enjoy this heavenly life without guidance, without help. And you can't depend on what your eyes tell you, on what your senses tell you to determine the truth, the reality of what's there in the spirit realm. You can be out there and you can be afraid. You can think you're all alone and you can think that something's going to get you and not realize that the angels of God are all around you. That the Holy Spirit, the greater one, God Himself, that spoke the worlds into existence, is within you. That can be the truth, and yet you not realize it. If you go by the input that's coming in from your senses, you can think you're all alone and you're scared, but it's not the truth. It doesn't have to be the truth. We live by what we believe, and not by what we see. Let's go back a few verses to the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Begin reading in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, reading from a couple of other translations, the 20th century again says, we are not fixing our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. We're not fixing our attention on what is seen. You have to look around you. You have to keep your eyes open in the physical sense, except when you're asleep. But while you're working and driving, it's best to keep your eyes open. But what he's talking about here just isn't the physical act of seeing things. He's talking about what you believe and what influences you, what information you base your actions on. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying we're not fixing our attention on that. We're not being concerned with that to the point to where we're looking at that things the way they are in the seen realm, we're looking into the unseen realm. Now, how can you see something that you can't see? Well, you really can't, can you? You really can't see something that you can't see. If it's unseen, it's unseen. How can you look at and see something that's unseen? Well, you really can't. That's why you need a guide. That's why you need help. That's why you need a guide, just like a blind person needs a seeing eye dog, someone that can see in that realm. Well, thank God the Holy Spirit can see in that realm. He sees the unseen. And He has given us in the Bible words that tell us about that unseen that He sees. We don't see it, but He sees it, and He's told us about it in the Bible. Now, it would be pretty ignorant for the blind person not to trust their seeing eye dog, wouldn't it? They're liable to get run over. They're liable to get hurt, fall off a cliff. I wonder if it's the same way with us. I wonder if we can get in trouble if we don't go by the Lord's guidance in our life. I wonder if we're apt to fall off of some of the devil's cliffs or into some of the devil's traps. I think so, don't you? And so, He's talking here about fixing our attention, what we pay attention to, what guides us, what we are setting as the goals that determine our course of action. He says, we're fixing our attention on the unseen. We're putting stock in. We're putting credence in. We're putting our confidence in what we don't see. But God sees it, and God gave us the description of it. God told us how it operates. It's by faith that we order our lives. It's by faith that we walk, and not just by what we see, not just by what our senses tell us. We're living on a different area, a different realm of life. We're operating in a different sphere than just a normal human person, because we're members of the family of God. We're children of God. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Now, since it talks about walking by faith, not by sight, we need to once again remind ourselves by going to Hebrews 11th chapter what faith is all about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 reads, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, according to this, is evidence of things not seen. So we're talking about that unseen realm still, aren't we? Faith operates in that unseen realm. What realm is it? Well, it's the spirit realm. Faith, then, is of the spirit. Faith operates in the spirit realm. Faith, then, we could say, isn't operating out here in the natural realm where we can get a hold of it, where we can feel it, where we can see it. Faith is operating and has to do with what we don't see, what we don't perceive with our physical senses. Again, let me go to some other translations of this. New English Bible says, "What is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see." Makes us certain of realities we do not see. Now, there's many of you, there are many of you here today that you are not certain of these things. Well, come down here right now and we'll kick you in the seat of the pants and give you a tongue lashing and try to find out what's the matter with you. You think I'm joking, huh? You're right, I am. But that's the way the devil, and a lot of churches maybe, make people feel. Well, if you don't have it, if you don't have faith, well, why don't you? What's the matter with you? Well, I do. I'm a big faith person. I believe in God, don't you? I believe God answers prayer. What's the matter with you? Makes us certain of realities we do not see. Faith makes us certain of realities we do not see. And if you're not certain of these things, well, I have news for you. Then you're not in faith in that area regarding that thing. Now, that's nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed of. You just need to realize where you are, where you stand, so you can take steps to change it. You say, can it be changed? Yes. If you continue in the Word of Jesus, you'll know the truth. You can become certain of these things. You don't have to sit there and think, well, that preacher, he acts like he believes that, but I'm not too sure. That person, they gave the testimony and they said these things were true in their life, but I'm not too sure. You can know. Faith isn't a leap in the dark. Faith is knowing. It's knowing. Now, it is true that you're not going to know it by your physical senses because it's in a different realm. But just as a blind person, after many, many years of trusting in their seeing eye dog without it letting them down, they know that dog is going to keep them from getting run over, not going to lead them out in front of a big semi, don't they? They're certain of it. Well, you can be certain of things too. But it's not going to be a certainty that's going to come through what you see or feel. It's not going to come that way because it's a certainty from another realm, from the spirit realm. It's a certainty from the kingdom of God. It's not a certainty from this world. It's a certainty of faith. The Berkeley version of the New Testament says, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. These things are unseen by the physical senses, but they're realities. God is a reality. Angels are around you are realities. They're unseen, but they're realities. It's not something I'm making up. It's not something that James and Peter and John got together and said, well, that's, you know, it'd be kind of nice to be the founders of religion and people had named churches after us and named their kids after us. We could become famous. Let's make something up here and write out, write it in a book. We'll call it the Bible. We can make up a good story here. Peter, you got a good imagination. You help us. That isn't what happened. These are realities. Those men recognized them as realities, finally. Especially after Jesus was raised from the dead. They recognized it was a reality. They weren't just out there starting some new religion. They were acting on unseen realities. Jesus was no longer with them in the flesh, but He was more real to them then than ever. Why did they hazard their lives? Why did they give their lives for this Jesus and for these unseen realities if they didn't believe them, if it was just made up? It's not just made up. It's true. It's a reality. Unseen, but still a reality. Reading that again, it says, faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith gives you something solid, people. Faith is something solid. It's not hoping so, guessing so, wishing so. Wishing is not faith. Trying to believe is not faith. Faith is knowing. Faith is a solid ground. If it's not solid to you, if it's not a conviction, if it's not a certainty in your life, then it's not faith. That doesn't mean that you can't have faith in that area. I'm just saying that you haven't yet arrived yet at the Bible definition of faith. Faith gives you a solid ground for your expectations. You got a solid ground. No longer worrying or wondering. You can relax and know. But I don't see it. How can I know it when I don't see it? You believe a lot of things you don't see. If one of your relatives calls you up on the telephone and tells you that they'll be there tonight, you'll believe it. How do we know you believe it? Because you start acting on it. You start cleaning up the house. You start getting ready, don't you? You start acting on it. And that's the way with faith in God and faith in His Word. Faith sees the invisible and acts accordingly. Faith sees those unseen realities and acts in accordance with that. And it doesn't. Faith doesn't see through these physical eyes or gain input through any of our physical senses, but faith sees, as it were, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like our seeing eye dog. He sees that whole realm. He can see everything. He can see what's going on now across town. He can see what's going on the inside of your heart. He can see what's going on everywhere. And He knows what went on before, and He knows everything. And He's our eyes. He's our spiritual eyes. And when we walk by faith, we're going by what He tells us, by His direction, by His guidance, by His wisdom. And of course, He's recorded for us as the author here of the Bible, many things already in the written Word of God. The Knox translation says, "What is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see." Faith will convince you of those things. Faith is knowing. It's not hoping. It's not guessing. But it's knowing. It's a solid ground. It's substance. Something of substance is something solid, isn't it? It's the substance of things hoped for. That's something solid. William says, it's the proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. It's the proof. Faith is a proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. We don't have a proof in the physical. We don't have proof being fed in through our eyes, through our touch, our physical senses. But faith is that proof. The Weiss translation, as well as the Amplified, uses the term title deed here. Faith is the assurance, or the title deed. Faith is a title deed. It's something that's solid. It's something that gives you an assurance, something substantive. The title deed. You don't have to have the house to know you own it. If someone gives you a title deed and it's all legal, you own it. You don't have to feel the house. Let's say land. You know the land's there. You might not know the house is there. But you don't have to feel of it. You don't have to walk on it to know it. If you know that that's a good title deed, well, that's your proof of ownership right there. That proves it. Well, the Word of God is the basis of our faith. It's our title deed. It tells us what we have. It tells us what we own. It tells us what God gave us by His grace. We didn't earn it, but it tells us what God gave us. The Bible makes plain to us what God has given as a free gift in Christ Jesus. He gave us Christ Jesus. and with him he freely gave us all things. And the Bible makes clear to us what all those things are. And so we know what's ours. We know what God has provided, and we know how to take advantage of it. And if we know that it's true, then what is going to be the result? Action. Your relative calls you up and says they're coming for supper tonight, you're going to get into action. You're not going to say, well, I'm just going to... Well, you might if they're not a... if they always lie to you. But if they don't lie to you, most of the time you're going to believe it and you're going to act on them. Well, God doesn't ever lie, so you don't have to worry about that. It would be against his very nature to lie. Faith sees through the Holy Spirit's eyes those things in the unseen realm and acts accordingly. It's the proof of unseen realities. It convinces us of things we cannot see. It makes us certain of those realities in that unseen realm. That's what faith does. Excuse me. Now let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I noticed that there are several of you that were smiling now. You're not smiling too much. I suppose that maybe you realize, well, hey, I'm not at that point. I don't have faith. And boy, what am I going to do? I'm in a maybe in a bad situation because I realize that I only have access to the grace of God by faith. I'm only going to be saved by faith. I only please God by faith. I've got to walk by faith. And I'm not so sure the way you've been talking that I have faith. I'm not so sure that I know that I know that I know these things. So how can I get faith? That may be your question. Well, put the smile back on your face. We have the answer for you right here in Romans, the 10th chapter. Reading in verse 17, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, that doesn't necessarily help me. I still don't understand exactly what that means. Well, I've been in the same boat. But I think I have some understanding of what it means. And I'd like to say that I do not like to be an argumentative person, and I do not like to contradict others just to be doing that. But a lot of things that I've heard on this, I just can't agree with. Some people have interpreted this, I believe, too literally. I believe interpreting the Bible literally, but you've got to interpret the Bible by the Bible and take it literally from that. And so interpreting it literally, a lot of people have got the idea that faith only comes by hearing with their physical ears. And I don't agree with that, and I'll explain why as we go here. But that would be limiting it just to the physical sense there, to saying that faith was limited to the physical sense of hearing. Well, one time I was thinking about this, and I got to thinking about, what about people that are deaf? And I know a lot of, not personally, but I know a lot of deaf people that are saved. They're children of God. They love the Lord. Many speak in tongues, but they're deaf. They don't hear anything. And the Bible plainly tells us in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. So how could they be saved without hearing if hearing is the only way to get faith? Actually, I was thinking about that and thinking that for many of them, faith came by feeling. If they were reading a Braille Bible, faith came through feeling, didn't it? They read in the Braille, or if they for the blind, that is. Kind of skipped to the blind quickly without telling you, didn't I? Or even telling myself. So, with the deaf, most likely, the faith came for them by seeing. They either saw somebody do the hand signs and the way that they communicate. They either saw someone signing the language, or else they saw in the Bible or a book God's message. Maybe somebody gave them a tract. Maybe they looked at a book about the gospel. And that's how faith came to them. And if that's the only way that we can please God, which Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God, well then it would certainly be unfair for all those that were deaf or blind, because it would be impossible for them to get faith if faith comes only through the physical hearing. And that's the only way they could be saved, because we're saved by faith. Well, it just doesn't fit, does it? If you look in Matthew, the 13th chapter, with me, we can get some further insight, I believe, from the scripture itself about what it's talking about. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is speaking, and verse 14 says, well, let's begin reading in verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Then look down at verse 19. Remember, all this, what we read previously, is in the context of Jesus' teaching on the parable of the sower sowing the word, which the word was the seed, the sower sowing the seed, and the seed was the word. All this is when he was explaining that. And in verse 19 he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and, well, that's the word of God, isn't it? He's talking about the word of God. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, Jesus says, the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Then in verse 23 he says, but he who receives seed on the good ground, and remember the seed is the word, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So, in talking about those that do not have faith, in verse 13 and 14, those that didn't believe, what did he say about them? He said, seeing, they see, but they do not see. They hear, but they don't understand. So, So I maintain that when he's talking about hearing here, faith comes by hearing. I think he's talking about hearing and receiving with understanding. It's like when you talk to your kid and they're looking right at you and you say, "Do you hear me?" You know they hear you, but what you mean is, do they get the message? And I believe that if we paraphrase it that way, that that will give us a better idea of what he's saying. So then we could say faith comes by hearing and receiving the word with understanding. Jesus is the one that said it in verse 19. If anyone hears the word and does not understand it, the devil plucks it away. Well, obviously, without the word, you're not going to have the faith. So we're looking at a person that doesn't have faith. And what was the reason they didn't? Jesus said they heard the word, so the problem was that they didn't hear the word. But the problem was they didn't understand it. So it's not only vital that they hear the word or receive the word, but they must understand it if they're going to bear fruit in the kingdom. Faith comes by hearing and receiving the word with understanding, and hearing and receiving with understanding comes by the word. How are we going to get the understanding? It's from the word. It all boils down to, no matter if you agree with anything I said, you'd have to look at Romans 10:17 and say this, that in some way it revolves around the word. If you don't believe this hearing stuff or understanding or all that, you know it has to do with the word, don't you? So if you just continue in the word, well, that'll be about 90% of the way there anyway. But some people have been confused on this, and I believe it's worth taking a little time to talk about and realize that faith doesn't just come from hearing something. Faith can come from reading. Faith can come from seeing through reading. Faith can come through feeling if you're reading the Braille. Now, when we say that it doesn't come by feeling, we walk by faith, not by feeling. We're not talking about the Word of God and the Braille. We're talking about, we're not going by what input our physical senses are telling us, but we're going by what the Bible tells us. Now, we get the Bible input through our physical senses, too, don't we? So if you got real technical, you say, well, then we don't go by the Bible either, because how are we going to know it if we don't read it? How are we going to... Well, you're getting overly technical. You're supposed to go by this because the Holy Spirit has made it convenient for us to read so we can see through His eyes into that unseen realm. So we can see those unseen realities, not in the sense of seeing them physically, but in the sense of understanding them, of knowing them, of believing them. Way's translation of Romans 10:17 says it follows that belief must depend upon having heard the message. Belief must depend upon having heard the message. If you haven't heard the message, you're not going to believe it. Just like the testimony shared with us earlier. There were some things that they weren't told, so they didn't believe them. Why didn't they believe them? Because they hadn't heard the message. Somebody has to tell them the message. And the Bible, thank God, has a big message. It has a bigger message than you or I have ever received. It has things in there that we don't even know yet in the sense of understanding them and being convinced of them. It has a lot in there. Now, there's many things that a lot of us have seen out of it, have understood and been convinced of, and so we started acting on it, and it's worked. Even though it seemed kind of strange, it felt funny, even though we weren't too sure, and our relatives especially weren't sure. It worked. We acted on it, and it worked in some areas. Now what we need to do is to hear the message in all those other areas and receive it with understanding. Continue in it till we understand it to the point where we can act on it. And it'll work in those areas too. Because you see, this guide, this one that's like in our illustration, is taking the place of a seeing eye dog. He's not mean. He's not going to lead us out into the midst of bear country and desert us just to see what we'll do when the bears start chewing on us. And he hasn't just lately, this week or so, caught the rabies either. He hasn't been injected with any of the devil's serum. He's not anything like the devil. His nature is completely different. He's not going to start acting like the devil. He's going to act like Jesus. He loves us. He's for us. He's on our side. Praise God. Faith comes from a message heard, according to Weymouth in this verse. Faith comes from the message heard. 20th century says we gather faith as a result of teaching. Faith is a result of teaching. You know, Brother Hagin says that faith cannot go beyond actual knowledge. And he's right. Faith cannot go beyond actual knowledge. If you don't know something, you don't have faith in that area. What you got is a counterfeit. And that may be why it hasn't worked. You can't expect a counterfeit to work. A counterfeit will fool you, but it's not the real thing. And if you don't have the real thing, you can't expect it to work. But if you got the real thing, it'll work. It'll work. Every time it'll work. It'll work. Praise God. And faith will work. And you can know that you know that you know. And you can hear the message. You say, but I heard the message and I'm still not convinced. You need to keep on hearing the message. You need to keep on receiving teaching until you're convinced. And it's not going to be enough, unfortunately, not going to be enough just for you to listen to what I have to say. But that would be a giant step forward for a lot of people if they would just go to church and listen to something. That would be better than nothing for sure. But that's not enough. If you're really interested in shooting on out there and walking in faith in all areas, so you can receive the benefits. What is going to be enough? You're going to need to study yourself. You're going to need to read the Bible yourself. You're going to need to go into teaching other than just this little bit of time. Sunday morning, we've got a tape lending library at the bookstore. We've got all kinds of good books. Not all the books there are good, Believer's Bookstore, because we have to have different ones, different people, and some of the things. But there's a lot of good ones, and we tried to keep the best. What I'm saying is that outside of my books and Brother Hagin's, and of course some of his aren't perfect either, and oh yeah, I don't have any published. They're none of them perfect. They're written by humans. But the Bible is perfect, thank God. Because even though it was penned by humans, God oversaw that so we'd have something dependable. But you need to feed on the Word of God. Now there's another thing we need to talk about. And that is when we say, faith comes by understanding. That doesn't mean, well, this whole thing is just an intellectual approach. That's not what it's talking about. You may never understand these things with your mind in such a way that you can explain it all. That isn't what it means. Not at all. But you understand to the point you know it'll work. you know it's the truth. You know God said it. You know God doesn't lie. You know it works. Just like probably most of you don't understand why this piano would make a sound if you plunk on one of the keys, but you know it does. You don't understand why the television set or the radio set, why it brings you all that stuff. But you know that you turn the knob and it will. You don't intellectually understand all the circuits and all the wires and all of the physical makeup of that, but it works and you know it works. And that's the same way with the things of God. Now, the more understanding you have of how the kingdom of God operates, the better. But you're never going to understand everything with your intellect, because your intellect is used to one realm, and we're talking about another realm. That's why we need the guide. That's why you need a seeing-eye dog, because you're blind to that realm. Every human being is. Unless God opens their eyes, we don't see into the spirit realm, the realm of reality. But it is real. When we leave this body, we'll enter into that realm. We're actually in that realm now. And that's why we've got to have the Word of God to guide us in it. Praise God. How are you going to get faith? You're going to get faith by continuing in the Word. And if you continue in the Word, that Word will grow on the inside of you and build. And it'll be like the way I sometimes think about it and explain it is like a jigsaw puzzle. At first, you pour it out of the box and it doesn't make one bit of sense. And that's the way it is when you become a Christian or you start finding out God's Word is true and you start entering into this, it doesn't make a bit of sense. But if you'll just start, you put one piece there and pretty soon, the more pieces you have, the easier it is to find out where the other pieces fit. And that's the way it is with Christian growth. That's the way it is with reading your Bible. You're very apt to come across some things you don't understand. And it's good to ask God, what's this mean, Lord? But you're not necessarily going to know right away. But a month later, or 6 months later, or a year later, after you've, as you continued, you read something else. You gain some more insight. You hear another message. And you understand something that you didn't know before. And with that understanding, then you can see, well, that piece fits here. You see, just like in the jigsaw puzzle, even though a piece might fit right here, if you don't have any of the pieces in around it, you'll never know. You wouldn't be able to see and understand that it fits there. And it's the same way with the things of God. Sometimes God can't get something through to you because you've got to get a hold of something else to be able to understand that. And that's why if you grow weary in well-doing, you look at it and say, oh, I'll never be able to understand that. Oh, I have faith. That's what a lot of people do. They get one or two pieces of the puzzle out on the board, and they get discouraged. And the devil tells them, look at that. Look at your life. It's not working. You don't understand it. You don't know anything. That's good for the preacher, but it's not for you. Why don't you just forget it and go off and try something else? And by the way things appear, it can be a pretty convincing argument. But let me just remind you one thing. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not out to make things easy for you. He's out to get you off of the Word so it'll be easy on him to get you. Well, you've got to stick in there. You've got to say when things look most incomprehensible, you've got to say, I'm going to continue in the Word. I know God's Word is true and the Holy Spirit is here to guide me. And I can't make even if I can't make heads or tails of this, well, I'm going to keep going by the Word. I'm going to keep letting it guide me as much as I know. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me. I'm going to base my decisions on what the Word says. And if you'll keep acting on it, if you'll keep studying it, if you'll keep listening to teaching, you'll get a little bit here and a little bit there. You may have come today and you may have thought, well, that's kind of boring, especially for the first hour and a half. It was really boring. So what? If you get one thing that helps you in your understanding, it's worth it. If you gain one insight that helps you a little, even though it may not seem to fit yet in relation to some of the questions you had, I guarantee you that piece of the puzzle on the board, then it's going to make it easier to fit the other pieces in. And the more pieces you get, the more the picture is going to improve. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, not only will the picture look good to you, but it'll look good to everybody. Pretty soon, the realization will come that you've drawn out of that spirit realm those realities into this realm. And now you're riding in it. Now you're enjoying it with your nerves. You've got that peace. You've got that calm. You've got that assurance. Now you're eating it. Now you're wearing it. The peace is there. The pieces of the puzzle are fitting in. And things are working in your life. Hallelujah. Then you can rejoice. And others can rejoice. And they can also see that it works. They can say, well, it works. It worked in their life. And it'll work in your life. Faith operates in that unseen realm. And we've got to let the Lord guide us in that and continue in it to work convinced, continue in the Word to work convinced of those things that are ours. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we're open to whatever you would have us to do. We do thank you. You haven't left us to face life all alone. You haven't left us just to wallow around in our misery. But you sent your Spirit to teach us, to guide us. Oh, we appreciate you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, there's some people that say, oh, do I have to receive the Holy Spirit? Do I have to have this Holy Spirit business? No. But who wouldn't want a seeing eye dog if they were blind and they had to walk over a 2 foot wide catwalk over a den of lions that hadn't been fed for weeks? Who wouldn't want a seeing eye dog to guide them? I'll tell you, the devil goes about as a roaring lion. He's only out to hurt people. He tricks them. He makes them think he's going to be good to get them into his trap. But even some mice are smarter than that. Most of them aren't. And you can put the cheese in the trap and get them. But a lot of people, they're not even as smart as that. They let the devil bait them with every little old thing that comes along. Sure, it may look good. It may smell good. It may feel good. But he's just baiting you to trap you. He's just trying to get a hold of you so he can destroy you. He's not interested in you having life in all its fullness. He's interested in torturing you, in hurting you, in seeing you suffer. Because he's a pervert. The devil. And if you are walking through this life, and there are many pitfalls. And if you fall off, you're liable to be devoured by the lions. It's the truth. and you need help getting through. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. No, you don't have to receive the Holy Spirit. Go it on your own. Help yourself. You don't have to depend on someone that has infinite wisdom and infinite love for you. Absolutely not. You don't have to depend on them. Slam the door in their face. Tell them, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. If you want to be that stupid, go ahead. But you don't have to. You don't have to receive the Holy Spirit.